Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. We're working on getting Liz Crokin, oh my goodness, from Town Hall, to give us the deets on everything that she's working on, and of course the just the news of today. Isn't the news kind of oppressive? Don't you feel that oppression sometimes? And that's why and I think this is important. When we deal with all of these heavy elements, you know, most alternative media, they hit that head on. But we look at this, what's taking place through the spiritual as well. And I think that's really an important component. In case you missed it, you've got to check out the video from the segment with Lauren P., medical coder, talking about finding in the diagnostic manual, the manual that is universally used for insurance carriers, universally used for ailments, to identify ailments by numeric, by it's kind of like the Dewey Decimal System of diseases. Chimeras, really? The mythical creature chimeras. And Joe is looking during the break and said, well, it's got a different medical, there is some different medical meanings to it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I buy it.
Yeah, really.
Because it doesn't make sense. There's a medical definition I found, and there is no date on this, but it says it's basically a blood chimera. It says that
mixture DNA.
Human chimeras were first discovered with the advent of blood typing when it was found that some people had more than one blood type. I've never heard of that before.
Well, I
but they
have,
go on to say, however, talk about non-identical twins and twins.
Yeah.
And,
but you wouldn't use that terminology,
dies.
Though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to look into this more. But even the article, the medical article says, in Greek mythology, a chimera was an awesome fire-breathing monster with the head of a lion,
again,
the body of a goat, and the tail of a serpent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's look, folks, there's so much we don't know and so much that needs to be investigated. And my thanks to Lauren P. for coming forward, bringing that information forward. And we're going to be certainly keeping in touch with her and following her research and investigation. She's a brave young lady and certainly knowledgeable, as she's certified in the disciplines in which she works. And of course, that's something else. Do we have Liz Crokin? We do. All right, we don't have video feed, but we got Liz Crokin on audio at the moment. Liz, how are you?
Hi, I can see you guys. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
You guys can't see, me?
We can't see you, but now I think we had this situation with another guest. If you, I think there's a camera switch, or a camera button. I'm not sure.
Eric,
the tech. It's coming. Here, okay. Eric's is.
It probably was my fault. I am not good technology.
That's all right. We're not either. That's why we have Eric the tech here to guide us through things. Well,
I'm good at building tech giants like Twitter and Facebook and Google, but I'm just not good at actually using technology.
We get that. Well, for those people out there who have never heard of Liz Crokin, which you'd have to be like living on a desert island if you haven't heard of her. She is an award-winning author, a seasoned journalist, and an advocate for sex crime victims. Liz began her journey, her career, well, her path at the University of Iowa. She received a bachelor's in journalism and political science, and she took advantage of living in the first in the nation caucus state to work on the campaign of John Kasich and George W. Bush, their presidential campaigns. Her experience landed her an internship working for Bill O'Reilly at Fox News Channel, and then to D.C., where she interned for the State Department's White House correspondent I'll slow down, which planted her in the White House daily. I'll save you the questions about. Okay, I'll save you the questions about Bill O'Reilly. I won't make a joke about that.
No, wait, I'm I'm more than happy to talk about Bill O'Reilly if you want to.
Well, you know, that seems to be the flavor of the day. Eric, the tech, just said something to me. The video's
choppy. Can you turn off your video, Liz? And
what'd you say?
And we'll do the same on ours, because even the Skype audio is just a little.
Yeah. The audio is a little bit choppy.
But just audio?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can X out the camera. We'll keep the audio.
So yeah, what's going on at Fox News? You have the Bill O'Reilly show being canceled, him being removed from Fox News. Shine, is it Bill Shine?
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
There you go.
Oh yeah, Bill Shine. I know Bill Shine. Can you guys hear me better now?
Oh, we can hear you like you're next to us now. This is great.
Oh, too bad, because I just spent all this time getting my makeup done. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't.
Wow. Well, sorry about that.
It's okay. I'll forgive you guys. No, it probably was on my end. My internet's been a little bit slow. But no, actually, I was at Fox in 2001. I think it was 2001. And I know Bill Shine. I met him. He was there when I was there. Both him and Bill were there from, I think the very beginning, if not from the Fox News Channel's launch, close enough to it. So yeah, Bill Shine, he stepped down, I believe it was this week, within the past few days. And when he stepped down at that point, he was one of the co-presidents of Fox News Channel. I haven't seen Bill in years, but when I worked with him years ago, and I worked for them in 2001 for a very short period of time, but I did go visit, Bill O'Reilly in the studio, and I would run into him and the likes of Bill Shine at events, like at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I saw Bill at one of the White House, Bill Shine at one of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So anyways, I've known both of them, and Bill Shine's a really good guy. I'm really sad to see him go. He's really good at what he does, and he's a really good person. I do not like the direction that Fox News Channel is going in. I don't think it's good. And in terms of Bill O'Reilly, I have some mixed feelings about Bill O'Reilly. I interned Bill O'Reilly years ago, because I absolutely admired this man. He was the only one in cable news that was really breaking news. He was the only one that was explaining government corruption, corrupt judges, constantly exposing Clinton corruption. When he first started the fact, he was constantly going after Larry King and like mocking him. He's like, Larry King brags that he doesn't even research his guests before he has them on the show, and he's like, it's not journalism, he's right. And so I just love the show. I mean, I was this partying college kid, but I never missed a show. Some nights I was so obsessed with the show, I would watch, they would rebroadcast it, which they still did through the years, but I would watch the repeat of the show, and I was like, wow, this is a real maverick journalist. He's doing real journalism. He's exposing corruption. He's doing what journalism is supposed to be all about. And that's why I wanted to work for him. And so I started contacting Fox News Channel and contacting his producers relentlessly, literally for over a year, begging them for an internship until they finally said yes. And then I got the opportunity to work for him. And when I was working with him, the first producer or woman that, made these sexual harassment claims against Bill was there at the time that I was there, okay? When I was there, I didn't see anything inappropriate between him and this woman, all right? I did follow the story when it came out, and I researched it. And my take on the situation is, I think there's some truth on both sides. I do think that Bill, has probably said some inappropriate things. But at the same point in time, I also believe he was in that situation. He was in set up. This woman was leading him on. Like, I listened to the tapes and all that stuff. So, I think there's some guilt going on both sides. These other women that have come forward, again, I do think that there's probably some truth in some of the things that they've said. When I was working for Bill, he said things to me that I would never, cry sexual harassment for. Like, he'd be like, oh, you're looking really good, da, 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 da. Compliments, right? But I could see how some women could take that, you know, the wrong way. And I could see that Bill could possibly say things that were, you know, off. So I do see both sides of the story. But what bothers me about Bill, since it is not the sexual harassment situation, because from what I researched, I do think that, like I said, that there's, that he was targeted, and that this was more about, you know, taking down a conservative in the media than it was about true sexual harassment. Because if you look at the View, that was, you know, all up in arms about this, well, they had no problem with Bill Clinton raping women. They had a problem with Bill Clinton, you know, sticking a cigar up of Monica Lewinsky's, you know what, in the Oval Office. You know, it's very selective outreach from the left. So I do believe that Bill Riley was targeted, and I do believe that, you know, that he may or may not have said were taken out of context or blown out of proportion. Now, with that being said, my problem with Bill Riley is that it's really bothered me that he is not the same journalist today that he was in the 90s. In the 90s, he was constantly exposing pedophiles. He was constantly exposing NAMBLA. He was constantly exposing pedophile judges, or he was constantly exposing judges that were very lenient on rapists, pedophiles, you know, really horrible, horrible sexual predators. Fast forward to current day Bill, he never covers those kinds of stories anymore. And to take it a step further, he mocked people that were exposing Pizzagate. And that is what has really bothered me about Bill O'Reilly, and it's really gotten under my skin. To his defense, I do believe that there are people at the top at Fox News Channel, because the ownership of the company has changed through the years, and we're seeing the company go farther and farther. I do believe that there are people at the top that has forbidden their anchors and their reporters to cover the sex trafficking and, you know, a lot of these rampant pedophile stories.
Liz, let me stop you there for a moment, okay? And I apologize. We have some really choppy audio. The information you're providing to us is so important. If you don't mind, we're gonna have the satellite network contact you, or, you know, reconnect with you, if that's okay.
Sure. Do you want to call me? Do you want to just do it over the phone?
Yeah, if that's okay, because this is so critical, because I did say pretty much what you're saying. I did write a piece that is saying exactly what you're saying, and I think I've got some sources. You've got, and you're an eyewitness, basically, but you've got some sources, mm-hmm. and I think we're on the there's something very unsettling here, and I don't want to lose 1 minute due to audio. So
sure.
we'll reconnect momentarily. We're gonna forego the bottom of the hour network break, so give you the entire time. Although this wasn't scripted, but this is so important, because this is an attack on conservatism, I believe, and the change that you perceived we have as well. So okay,
yes.
We'll reconnect momentarily, folks. Liz Croken.
Okay.
Liz Croken, you can find her writings at townhall.com. Malice is her book. I recommend her writings.
And she talked about her book last time she came on. I think it was March 27th, I believe.
Yeah.
And she got into why she wrote the book and why she, is an advocate for victims of child sexual abuse. And when she comes back, we'll get into this with her again real quick. Maybe she can go over it again. But she was talking about the Bill O'Reilly situation and how, you know, she heard and saw some of what was going on between the accuser and Bill O'Reilly, and she, in her words, Liz said that the accuser was leading Bill on, and that leads me to believe that maybe he was a little flirty with his language. And
but you know what, Joe? Without respect or without regard to that, well, what we're seeing here, at least in my view, and I know you and I have spoken about this, but maybe not to the depth that we need to. I see a war taking place. I see this incredible, by the way, just give us a thumbs up when she's back. I see an incredible, concerted effort to take down, an orchestrated effort to take down, the conservative media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, the only conservative mainstream news source, Fox News, they're getting rid of conservatism on the only conservative network left. If you saw what ESPN did, They fired over 200 or 300 journalists a year ago, and now they're firing 100 of their most well-known sportscasters, specifically those with any type of conservative-leaning political views.
And remember, we had the bloody sock, yeah, Kurt Schilling on. Yeah. And isn't that kind of...
That was the start of it.
The first blows, that's right.
And then ESPN is owned by Disney, and yep. The circle of corporate ownership continues. And then we have, what happened with Bill O'Reilly, Bill Shine, and then you saw allegations against Sean Hannity. You see Judge Napolitano being removed for different reasons, even though he was right with his sources and his information. They didn't like the information, and it spoke against the Obama administration and the liberal talking points. So there is definitely something going on at Fox News.
Okay.
And we have Liz back.
All right. Hi, Liz. Thanks for your patience.
There's a whole movement that is from the left that is attacking conservatives. And, because of my work with sex crime victims, I'm very passionate about sex trafficking, and that's the angle I cover. Now, I was talking before how Bill O'Reilly used to cover pedophiles constantly. I mean, if you started watching his show in the very beginning, he was constantly talking about NAMBLA, constantly. And, I've been in the studio with him, and, I mean, the man's anger for this disgusting organization that promotes the rape of children, okay? He was constantly exposing them. And he's really strayed away from that. And not only that, he went so far to say, and I believe more than one episode, he basically trashed the Pizzagate movement, and he trashed people that were trying to expose Pizzagate. However, he didn't, offer any explanation for what all the Pizzagate code words are. He didn't offer any explanation, why John Podesta uses children as entertainment at hot tub parties. Like, he just kind of does what most liberals do when they argue, is just, name call and like say it's not true with no proof. And that's not the Bill O'Reilly that I worked for. That is not the journalist that was my mentor, that, I worked for, that I adored and admired. Like, he's changed. And maybe he hasn't changed. Maybe it's just that the powers that be at the top are saying, you know what? Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Because if you notice, Megyn Kelly, knocked the Pizzagate movement too. And again, she didn't offer any explanation for why all John Podesta and all Hillary Clinton surrogates are obsessed with pizza and use all these weird code words and have hot tub parties with children. So that's going on at Fox. And what's really disturbing to me, and this is going on with my professional career, is that, you guys had me on because I broke a story talking about how the MSM is completely ignoring how Trump is going after pedophiles, how he's going after their sex trafficking, human trafficking. He's talked about it. He just talked about it over the weekend, actually, with Eric Bolling from Fox News. And he said, nobody talks about this. He says, nobody talks about this, but one of the reasons why we need to build the wall is to end human trafficking. No one will talk about it. Well, what I'm finding really disturbing is that, I broke a story with Town Hall about how the mainstream media is, completely ignoring the sex trafficking bust under the Trump DOJ, and they're completely ignoring how Trump's talking about this and how this is a real issue and that he's, going after these disgusting pedophiles. I'm finding now, ever since that story came out, that no one's publishing my stories on sex trafficking anymore. Any
Bingo.
Stories I pitch, it is so bad, you guys, and I'm so angry right now. And I am talking about some media outlets that are more conservative, that cover these kinds of things typically. Radio silence. I'm not going to say with what organization, but I had an editor-in-chief tell me that they will not cover anything on sex trafficking. Nothing. And I said, if the president is giving a press conference about sex trafficking, like, can I at least do a story, just reiterating what he said? I mean, this is the president of the United States addressing an issue. Anything the president says or does is story. He said no. It's crazy to me, and it's so frustrating to me, and I'm so mad because I have gotten a few stories out there
about sex trafficking, but you guys have no idea how many stories I've written that have been denied, denied, denied. Stuff that is backed up by facts, statistics. I've quoted the president in my stories. You know, they're not conspiracy theories. And, you know, these my stories are very thorough. My entire life, I've been in journalism for 15-plus years. I've worked from every publication, from the Chicago Tribune to the National Enquirer, and I have written some really salacious stories, you know, involving politicians and billionaires having affairs and love children, and I have never once been sued, okay? I have a great reputation, and my work speaks for itself, and it's quality work. And ever since, you know, I had that one story go viral about sex trafficking, I'm being blacklisted. And I'm being blacklisted by places that used to cover this stuff. And to me, that is frightening. That is how bad and big of a problem this is. And that is how this goes to show how real this is, and that the powers that be in the media, in government, in law enforcement are desperately trying to cover this up. And it's horrifying.
And we're behind you 100%. Now, are you referring to, you've got two articles that really caught my attention that we spoke about the last time. The one, townhall.com, under your byline, why the MSM is ignoring Trump's sex trafficking. Okay, that was February 25th, and then March 5th, Trump sex trafficking and how it ties to Russia. I mean, incredibly well-written, well-cited articles. And we talked about that on March 27th, and bam, all of a sudden, you're experiencing censorship like you've never experienced before. I understand.
But let me tell you something. Town Hall hasn't published one of my stories since.
I know.
Not one.
Okay.
Okay? And let me tell you something else. My stories go viral, okay? From a business standpoint, if a journalist has stories that go viral, the company makes more money. And typically, when I've written stories for, you know, any publication and it's gone viral, they ask me to do a follow-up so they can get more hits, which in turn, you know, makes them get more money from advertisers. That's how journalism works. Now, look, if I was writing a story that no one was sharing, that no one was reading, if my reporting was inaccurate, okay, then I could understand why they wouldn't want to run my stuff again. But my stuff is going viral, and it's making the companies I work for a lot of money. So they should be wanting more of those kinds of stories. But they're not. And that begs the question, why? What's going on?
Well, that question needs to be asked. And if it helps any, we're going to be in Chicago Friday and Saturday giving a presentation. I'm citing your research from those two articles and loud and clear to the audience, because the information you've got in those articles is tremendous. If that makes you feel any better. But, yeah, what is going on, though? What's going on?
That's the problem. It's like I know you guys have had Craig Sawyer on, and, you know, he has said on multiple occasions that, you know, when he started his organization to go after pedophiles and to save these children, you know, from the sex trafficking circuit, you know, he's run into all of these problems trying to raise money, and his GoFundMe account was shut down. And, like, that is just proof that this is real and that there are real powerful forces trying to stop good people like myself and him and you guys from exposing this. Now, if this was all a conspiracy theory, if this wasn't real, or if this was just low-level, you know, people that were trafficking, you know, women and children, then it wouldn't be an issue. But the fact that people like myself, Craig, you guys are getting shut down, you know, reputable people, I mean, he's a Navy SEAL, and that goes to show that, wow, there's really powerful people involved, because, A, how are they managing to silence us and to, you know, get people, you know, or companies not to cover this stuff? It just goes to show what a powerful force this is. But I want to talk about something that's going on in my personal life that is a microcosm of what we're seeing going on in America and with the alt-left, okay? And you know, I don't need to get into my entire sob story. You guys know, and you know, your listeners that have listened to me before know that the reason why I'm so passionate about sex trafficking and taking down these pedophiles and rapists is because I'm a sex crime victim, okay? And so, you know, I have been touched by the horrors of sexual assault, and I do a lot of work with victims, and it's my passion to help, you know, victims of any kind of sexual assault. But anyways, so in my personal life, I have, you know, and we don't need to get into details because I don't want to bore your audience, but my ex from 5 years ago, he physically, emotionally, and sexually abused me, okay? Horrible human being. Scum of the earth. Horrible, horrible human being. And because of one of the sexual assaults that he committed against me, he infected me with at least one, probably two or three, STDs. And then he lied to me and my doctors, which enabled the STD, which was herpes 2, to progress to meningitis and then encephalitis, and almost killed me. And it left me with permanent brain damage, tons of neurological problems, PTSD, anxiety. I mean, I could go on and on and on all day about all the problems I had. It was like having a stroke. I couldn't even read or write at first, okay, when I first got sick. I went from making six figures, living this amazing, posh Hollywood life. I was an editor, you know, at an entertainment magazine. I walked red carpets like Kim Kardashian. I traveled the world, you know, covering celebrities like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. I lived in this luxury apartment that had a spa. I mean, I could get a massage in my apartment. I lived the life. I went from that to going on welfare, going on disability, going on food stamps, not being able to work. My parents had to take care of me initially. It almost completely destroyed my life, okay? I have been fighting this serial sexual predator in the courts, criminally and civilly, for 5 years now, all right? And to make a really long story short, he pretended like he was going to settle my case in good faith and even signed a contract to do that a couple of months ago, and that completely fell through. All right? Now, this is what gets me about this whole situation. The guy that committed a sexual assault against me and pretty much destroyed my life and almost killed me is suing me for defamation, okay? Which doesn't surprise me because the guy's a scumbag, he's a total sociopath, and I mean, I would expect that from him. This is what drives me crazy and makes me sick. The lawyer that is representing him to sue me, a sex crime victim, she is a liberal that publicly claims to be for women's rights and to be an advocate for rape victims. Okay? She has written columns saying that she does work for rape victims and she does pro bono work for rape victims. Meanwhile, she is taking money from a serial sexual predator and she is making money off of the sexual assault that almost killed me. Okay? But she's pretending to be an advocate for rape victims. Does that remind you of someone? Cough, cough, Hillary Clinton. Now, the reason why I want to bring this up is because what's happening in my life is a microcosm of what's going on in a broader sense on the left. We have people on the left that are enabling and promoting pedophilia and sexual assault. So, for example, the Daily Caller, I don't know if you guys saw this, they just broke a story the other day talking about how the BAM organization, which was behind the left liberal riots against Trump supporters, is tied to NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, a pedophile group. Okay? So there's that instance. Then let's look at the refugee situation or illegal immigration. Let's look at the refugee situation first of all, okay? So Trump has a travel ban on refugees from certain countries, and he wants extreme vetting. Now, he doesn't just want extreme vetting to root out terrorists. He wants extreme vetting to prevent people coming to this country that believe mutilating little girls' vaginas is okay. He wants to prevent people who believe having sex and marrying a nine-year-old is okay. Now, Muslims who support and believe in Sharia law believe this. That is the law of the countries that they come from. It is legal to marry a child there. It is legal to rape a woman there. Furthermore, not only is it legal to rape a woman there, if a woman gets raped in Saudi Arabia, it's her fault. And she gets beat for it, okay? That's the kind of stuff that Trump is trying to prevent from coming into this country. Now, since under Obama's policies, we've had so many refugees come in that have been unvetted, that come from cultures where rape's allowed and it's legal and the marriage of a six-year-old man and a nine-year-old is okay and acceptable. We've had multiple instances of these refugees raping children. There was a horrendous case in Idaho where a special needs toddler was gang raped by three Muslim refugees, all right? We have the Rockville rape. Actually, were those refugees? I get them all confused. They were either refugees or illegal immigrants. But that actually leads me to my next point. The illegal immigration situation is also enabling sexual predators to come in, pedophiles to come in, and, you know, another way to look at the illegal immigration situation is, you know, these liberals are like, oh, you know, they just want to come here and make money. Like, you know, illegals should be allowed to stay. You know, people should be allowed to come here illegally. Well, if you're really for women and children, you should not want there to be illegal immigration, because some of the biggest targets of sex trafficking are illegals. Illegal women and illegal children are huge targets for sex trafficking because they're undocumented. They don't have social security cards. They don't have driver's licenses. They don't exist. In the eyes of the government, they don't exist. And that makes them bigger targets, because if they don't exist and someone says, oh, is this person missing or blah, 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 law enforcement is less likely to do something about it. Furthermore, people that come here illegally who are raped, you know, or their kids are raped, and I work with these people all the time, they're afraid to report the crimes because they're afraid they're going to get deported. So illegal immigration, bringing these unvetted refugees, and all these leftist policies are literally promoting and enabling pedophiles and sexual predators. And that's, these things are never talked about. You know, they're never talked about. And I have people that come on my social media pages and they're like, you know, pedophilia and sex trafficking, it's not like a Republican Democrat issues. Well, there are pedophiles in both parties. Don't get me wrong. But the issues that the left is promoting, the platform that they're promoting, you know, bringing in these refugees unvetted, bringing in illegal immigrants, that is fostering an environment for rape and pedophilia. And the numbers out there are out there. The stats are out there. We see stories like this over and over. And I mean, I was just in Chicago last week, and there was a woman who was raped and murdered by an illegal who had already been deported once. But Chicago is a sanctuary city. So the rapist was protected, not that woman. It's insanity. It's complete insanity. And what this lawyer, you know, in my personal life, who is taking money from the serial sexual predator, she's pretending in her public persona to be for women and, you know, to be, you know, an advocate for rape victims, but she is enabling a sexual predator and she's making money off of him. I mean, it just drives me crazy. It makes me sick.
Yeah, we see the hypocrisy everywhere in the left and in some of the right, too. You know, as you mentioned,
That's true.
The censorship, just from your investigative reports that are sourced properly and are backed up by verifiable facts.
Joe, and Liz, let me kind of back up here a second, because you said something. You're getting sued for defamation for essentially talking about this or educating the public about this. And you've never been sued in your journalistic career, ever.
I know. Well, that's why it's so ridiculous. I mean, this lawyer is so foolish. Look, I've been working with lawyers with the publications I've worked for for several years, okay? Some of the tabloids I've worked for had Bill Clinton's lawyers, all right? I have worked with lawyers on really salacious stories I've covered. I have, you know, issued contracts with prostitutes and, you know, sources that have revealed the most scandalous stuff about some of the most powerful people on the planet, okay? So if anyone understands libel laws, it's me. And I didn't go to law school, but I took constitutional law, and political science was a major of mine in addition to journalism. So I understand slander and I understand libel laws. The irony of this whole defamation lawsuit against me is that, first of all, most of it is based off of my novel. My novel is classified as fiction. So that's the first thing that's insane about the lawsuit. The second part of this defamation lawsuit against me is one of the claims is that they claim that I'm lying when I say that my ex has herpes 1 and herpes 2. Well, guess what, guys? I have my ex admitting to having herpes 1 and 2, not only on audio tape, but in an email. Okay?
Wow.
So the only way you can successfully sue someone for slandering someone is if you're lying and you can't, you know, and you can't prove that you're telling the truth. Well, I'm telling the truth, and, you know, let's say that there was an inaccuracy in my book. Well, my book's fiction. I don't name my in my book, but I will say, and his name's Mallory Hill, and if you live in California, watch out for him, because I get phone calls, and my lawyer gets phone calls that he's still going around spreading diseases and not revealing to his partners that he's infected with herpes. So watch out for Mallory Hill. But, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm sure I'll get thrown out of court. It's a joke. But
Liz, isn't that a tactic, though? I mean, to look at this in a larger sense, and I know exactly what you're going through with this lawsuit. Trust me when I tell you that. But isn't that a tactic against you to cause? I mean, to me, this is lawfare. Perhaps the bigger picture here is to shut you up. And I look at this, and you've got to be. I mean, regardless of the merits of the suit, you got to defend it, right?
Exactly.
So,
well, it is. It is a tactic to shut me up. The lawyer that's representing Mallory Hill, her name is Rebecca Green, and she's with the George Brown Ross Law Firm, okay? I believe that she and you know, this group of lawyers are used to bullying people. They're used to intimidating people. And I've been exposing her and for years now, but I've been exposing her recently on social media, and she sent my lawyer a letter, threatening to sue me for telling the truth about who she is and what she's doing to me. And I believe that they're doing this because they're used to bullying people. They're used to scaring people into talking about what's going on, and they're used to intimidating people. And, you know, the average person doesn't understand libel laws. So I'm sure that they've used these bullying tactics in the past where they've, you know, threatened people, you know, to silence them because they don't know, oh, could they legally sue me, or, you know, am I not allowed to say X, Y, and Z? But guess what? I'm not an idiot. I understand libel laws, and so their bullying tactics aren't going to work. So, you know, it is a tactic to bully me and to try to destroy my suit against him. I believe that part of the reason why they're suing me is because they're trying. It's complicated. It's hard to explain. But we had settled my case, and my ex had signed an agreement to pay me X amount of dollars, and I agreed to a very loose confidentiality agreement, but I never signed it. And I mentioned on social media that I had a success in my case. Well, they used that to try to get my whole case thrown out of court and everything to be dropped. So I think that they pretended to settle, hoping that they could set me up to violate this BS confidentiality agreement that I hadn't even signed yet. I think it was just a ploy to try to set me up to get the sexual predator off the hook.
And you are absolutely correct, Liz, when you say this is a microcosm. Your personal situation is a microcosm of what's going on today. I mean, I cannot agree more with you, and this is so relevant. And I got to tell you, my heart breaks for you. It really does. And if folks, if you don't, and ladies and gentlemen, please understand what she's saying here. You've got to understand the level of words. I can't even. I'm angry. I'm angry for you.
Thank you. You have no idea. I mean, to go through what I've been through has been hell. It has been complete hell. I have contemplated suicide over and over and over again. My PTSD is horrendous. I can't get out of bed for days. And to know that this lawyer is pretending to help rape victims and is making money off of the sexual assault that almost killed me has triggered my PTSD. It has made it worse. It has made me more sick, more anxious. It is so infuriating. And, you know, I encourage other people out there to, you know, find the strength. If, you know, if you've been the victim of a sexual assault, you know, and you're experiencing anything similar to my situation, get loud. You know, I have been exposing the scumbag lawyer and my ex, you know, constantly on social media. And unfortunately, there aren't a lot of good detectives and cops out there that are willing to do the right thing. You know, you go out in public and get drunk and, you know, urinate in public and cops have no problem arresting you. But we have a serial sexual predator who's infecting dozens and dozens of people with STDs, not revealing that he's infected. There's many, many other. I get phone calls all the time, but I can only vouch for what happened to me. Okay, and this is just some of the things that this person has done. Let me tell you, there's been a lot of other things which hopefully will come out when I finally get my day in court. But you know, I can't get cops to do anything. I couldn't get the lead detective in Orange County to do anything. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. I almost died because of what this person did to me. I have permanent brain damage. I mean, it's been a nightmare.
Brain lesions.
And I can't get
brain lesions.
You know, there's so I have lesions all over my brain. Okay, so it's been so frustrating, and it's like the only last resort that I have had. I mean, thankfully I have a good lawyer, and I know in the end that we will get justice and justice will be served. But as of now, like, the only thing that's like exposing this person is social media and good people in the media that have covered, like you guys, and there's been a lot of other people that have covered my story. But I haven't got all the people that are put in positions of power to help sex crime victims, like judges and police officers. Don't get me wrong, they're not all bad. But in my situation, they haven't helped me at all. The DAs have blown me off. The city attorney's blown me off. The police have blown me off. The lead sex crime detective in Orange County blew me off. He actually laughed at me and he didn't even know the law when I tried to report my crime. It's been horrible. You know, and now we have this lawyer, Rebecca Green, who is taking advantage of the justice system, I believe abusing the court system to further terrorize a sex crime victim. You know, I mean, it just infuriates me. And it's like, you know, this lawyer, it's not like she worked for the state and she was appointed to cover a rapist and she had, you know, to defend a rapist and she had no choice. She chose to take on this person as a client, okay? She chose to profit off of sexual assault, off of my misery. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. You know, and look, if she didn't go out there and claim that she was an advocate for sex crime victims and she wrote a whole little column about it in Exo Jane, then I'd be like, all right, just another scumbag lawyer. But the fact that she's so two-faced and claims to be an advocate for sex crime victims, and meanwhile she's terrorizing me with this lawsuit after everything I've been through, it makes me so sick, you guys. I'm a writer, and I don't have the words to describe how angry and sick it makes me. And
yeah, I understand.
Again, like you guys said, I want to bring it up because she is a microcosm of what is going on, you know, with the left. We have Linda Starzar, who organized the Women's March. She's pro-Sharia law. Like, the Sharia law is the most abusive form of ideology against women and children, okay? We have these leftist rioters at Berkeley tied to a pedophile group. What the heck? It's like, it's incredible. And it's like, you know, there are some people on the left, you know, they will come on my social media page and they're like, you know, the, like, sex trafficking, pedophilia, this isn't like a left-right thing. And it's like, no. It is, because the left agenda is pushing pedophilia. It's enabling pedophiles. It's protecting them. Sanctuary cities protect rapists, okay? So, you know, don't go out there and say that you're for the women and children, you know, dressed up as a vagina, if you're going to be rallying behind a woman that's pro-Sharia law. That is the most anti-woman ideology there is on the planet. It's insanity. And unfortunately, there's a lot of sheep on the left that are against pedophilia. They are against rapists and stuff, but they don't understand. They can't put two and two together. They don't understand how these leftist policies are bringing rapists into the country. They're bringing an ideology that mutilates little girls' vaginas in the most horrific way, that the media won't even report, you know, the actual procedures of genital mutilation. And it's horrendous.
We just had the two cases in Detroit, and it's amazing how, and you're right, and folks, you know, we often say that this pedophilia and the sex crimes is both parties, but Liz is saying, and I totally agree with Liz on this, you've got this unholy alliance between the left, and think about Obergefell, think about what the left agenda is and how it really morphs and relates to what Liz is talking about. But we just had the doctor, two cases or multiple cases in Detroit, you know, engage in that female genital mutilation.
Yep.
How sick is this? And really, crickets from the left. Sorry.
No, nothing.
You know, yeah. It's
no,
crazy.
Nothing from the left, you know? But you know, Trump said grab the pussy, end of the world. But, you know, Bill Clinton can rape and he can go to pedophile island with a convicted, you know, child rapist, Jeffrey Epstein, and they say nothing.
Yep.
It's insanity.
Yep.
It's total insanity. And this genital mutilation, I'm so glad that you know, Trump's DOJ is going after this, because this is a really much bigger problem. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more arrests with this. And I actually, one of my girlfriends who I had dinner with the other night, she's from Detroit, okay? And she does a lot of work with sex crime victims. She does the same kind of work I do, and she actually is working on a documentary that's exposing sex crimes around the world. And she traveled to Europe, she went to India, she traveled to Germany, Sweden to talk about, you know, the rape problem with the refugees and everything. And she studied this genital mutilation. She's like, you know, in a lot of these Muslim countries, they don't do the genital mutilation in a medical facility. They'll literally take like thorns from a bush and just butcher a little girl's vagina. Like, that's how it is. She's like, it is the most barbaric thing. And she explained to me in detail. It is horrific, you know. It's just insanity. And this, you know, these are the kinds of things that the left is bringing into this country. And it needs to stop. And people need to stop being so complacent about it. People need to get angry like I am. You know, I think anger is a good thing, because if you can channel your anger into positive change, you know, in a legal way, then it's a good thing. But people need to start waking up to them. We need to get louder. We need to double down, and we need to not let people silence us, you know, because
I love it. And this is not false flattery, but you're really you're ahead of the curve, cutting edge, tip of the spear kind of reporting on this. And if I can just kind of go back a little ways here, because I'm troubled by the fact that you are being essentially silenced through your writings after you had exposed Donald Trump's sex trafficking bust, or at least the DOJ and the mechanisms that have caused all of these these arrests and charges, and there's plenty of them. You list numerous. Liz, help me out here. What can we do? What can we do to help you? And what can people, listeners, do to help you? Because your message is so important.
Well, yeah. If you guys know any outlets that are willing to publish, you know, articles about sex trafficking, let me know, because I can't find any that are willing to let me to publish work on sex trafficking right now. Like, and that's the truth. I'm thinking about starting my own blog, because
no one will
talk about this, so it's like, all right. It's unfortunate, because, you know, I make my money off of freelancing, and, you know, and it's like, I don't have to just write about sex trafficking. I write about a lot of things, you know,
but the
sex trafficking is my passion, and it's so important. It's such a huge problem. It's so important to talk about it. And it's like, you know, I'm really ticked off today, because I just got news today that another one of my stories was denied, and I'm given no explanation why. I'm so frustrated, and this has been happening over and over again. I'm really, you know, trying to not get too upset about this, but it's hard. But, you know, as I'm sitting here, I'm really upset that I'm getting censored and my work isn't getting approved. I think about these children, and I'm like, okay, part of me is like, should I just give up? Because I can't get anyone to run my work. I still need to make money. Like, what am I supposed to do? But then part of me is like, well, if I give up, like, where does it leave these children? Where are
exactly.
These poor children that are literally being trapped in cages? So it's like, you know what? Like, I have to, you know, I have to kind of just think, okay, you know, if I keep losing jobs because I'm out for sex trafficking, that's okay, because I'm not in a cage right now, you know, about to be raped by a psychopath. So, you know, it's like, I'm trying to put things in perspective, but, you know, the fact that I'm getting censored and left and right, and, like, I feel like I'm getting punished for doing this work that, I should be getting awards for. Anyone that's exposing sex trafficking should, you know, be applauded.
Exactly.
You know, I have to remind myself about these children. There's no one looking out for them. There's no one. And the more that I'm censored is more proof that there's no one looking out for them and that they really need our help. So, you know, what people can do is just follow me on social media, like, spread the word. And I guess I'm just going to have to start my own blog, because there are very few places that are willing to cover this.
You know, and Liz, I'll say this. We do have a very loyal listening audience, and I would urge every listener out there, every viewer out there, to really get behind Liz Croken, get behind her work. I know her work. It's impeccable. She is an incredible journalist, a great journalist, and her passion, you can hear her passion. And it's not just because, it's not anger. It is focused, righteous anger.
Yeah.
And, you know, Liz, I'll tell you, I love your passion, and I really respect your work. I really do. I know we kind of started this conversation out with talking about what's happening with Fox News. Can you tell me and I don't even know if you have an opinion on this or not, but, I've got a good friend, Pat Campbell, that hosted someone on his program who referenced Sean Hannity as, you know, making allegations of sexual harassment, but then walked it back, and I don't even know what she's claiming. But is that valid? Is that legitimate? I mean,
no. I know Sean Hannity. He's the most amazing person in the world. Okay, like, that was the most ridiculous claim ever. When I worked at Fox News Channel, Sean's office was like a few doors down, so I got to hang out with Sean a few occasions, meet him. Like, there was one day when I walked in his office and I was like, hey Sean, I just want to let you know my dad is like the biggest fan ever, and he listens to you every day, or, you know, listens and watches you every day, blah blah blah. And Sean's like, what's his number? I'll call him right now. I'm like, really? Like, he's going to die. And he's like, yeah, no problem. You know, Sean's like the busiest guy in the world, and he took the time, like, to call my dad, which, like, made my dad so happy. It just, it makes me sick, these allegations against good people, you know? And, like, at the end of the day, it's like, I feel like the left that's attacking conservatives and, like, they're using, like, sexual harassment, you know, some of these claims, some of them, you know, could be legitimate, but then there's some that aren't legitimate, and the ones that aren't legitimate hurt the
legitimate ones. Liz,
exactly,
I hate to ask you.
Do
you have time commitments, or can you spend another few minutes after the top of the hour
network
break with us?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? My wife and I will take you out to dinner next time we're in Orange County or wherever.
Awesome.
Seriously. Folks, Liz Croken is our guest, and what an incredibly brave young woman she is. I have a lot of respect for her, and she's laying it all out for you. Understand the gravity, understand the enormity of what she's talking about. And you know what? It is, at the end of the day, it is about the most vulnerable among us. We can't let things like this stand. Liz Croken is our guest. She's agreed so graciously to spend some more time with us after the top of the hour. Folks, stay with us. 3 minutes. Give us 3 minutes, and we'll give you more of Liz Croken. Stay right where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate investigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.